Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price, exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. We appreciate your time on this Tuesday morning. The entire opening hour dedicated to the opening day of the NFL free agency frenzy around the National Football League. More moves coming on this Tuesday. The league year for 2024 officially gets started tomorrow afternoon. Any breaking news, we will bring to you live right here on TEL. But Donnie, today officially begins, in my estimation, conference championship week in men's college basketball. Starting today and over the next 6 days through Sunday, we will have at least one D1 men's college basketball game starting no later than 12 p.m. Eastern time, including 2 days like today where the games begin at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, and two of the other days games start at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Welcome to Conference Championship Week. Welcome to hour number two of the early line.
It's getting your practice in this week, right, for the actual tournament that next Thursday and Friday will be going on all day long and so much fun here. You see it on your TV. You get ready for it. You get to name some of these players. You say, okay, I'll remember that guy come next week. Ooh, this guy's really good, or this team is actually hot. It's a fun week again. Like versus like competition. A lot of these schools have already punched their tickets with those at-large bids at this point, but the automatic bid stealers here are still going to be out there, and I know we're going to talk about that WCC conference, which the other guys on the bubble love this final between Gonzaga and St. Mary's, because nobody is stealing a bid out there in the West Coast Conference, Ben.
That is for sure. Let's bring in our Sports Grid radio audience live right here in hour number two of the early line. He is Donnie. I am Ben. You're listening on Sirius XM channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. Conference championship week, which really also happened yesterday as well. WCC semifinals out in Las Vegas. Two top 25 teams in action. We start with the number one seed in the tourney. That is St. Mary's, who was perfect in conference action until the regular season finale. Now two Saturdays ago at home in Moraga against a streaking Gonzaga team. Despite dropping that game, the Gales had already clinched the number one spot and the regular season conference crown. They continue that yesterday in Las Vegas, knocking off the four seed Santa Clara 79-65. St. Mary's covers as an 11.5-point favorite. Game total of 136.5 goes over. Something to keep in mind for St. Mary's. They have now covered in seven of their last eight wins. Gonzaga on a streak, make it eight, now nine straight for Mark Few's Bulldogs, with a big victory yesterday, winning by 12 over San Francisco, 89-77. The Zags cover as an 8.5-point favorite. Total also skying over 150 and a hook.
Yeah, he's the big second half. Look at the break there. 38-37 Gonzaga here in Las Vegas in the second half, 151-40, covering that number and scoring 89 points. You're never going to be able to beat most basketball teams, Ben, in college basketball when you allow them to shoot 55% from three-point range, which is what Gonzaga did yesterday, 11 of 20 from the floor. But this is the matchup we all wanted to see one more time here. And if you are Gonzaga, tough regular season because you didn't win the conference crown during the regular season, but you can one up there St. Mary's with a victory in Las Vegas, say, we beat you the last two times we played you, and we're cutting down the Mets here, and we'll be a higher seed in the tournament because of that. Fun game on deck tonight, no doubt about it.
Midway through January, there was some thought Gonzaga might have to win the WCC tournament because they were not really in play for an at-large berth to the NCAA tournament, which is something unheard of. Gonzaga has been to the NCAA tournament in all now 21 years under Mark Few. I believe this is year number 22 up in Spokane. But Gonzaga, after the run they made in February and down the stretch here in March, winners of 9 straight, covering in 6 of those 9. By the way, the Zags are in either way. It will be a great WCC final tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern time in Las Vegas. I'm looking up and down the FanDuel Sportsbook. Confirm for me here. I don't see the numbers out just yet for the WCC tournament championship game tonight in Las Vegas. I would expect Gonzaga to be a slight favorite. They were a 4-point favorite even on the road in Moraga in that regular season finale just about a week and a half ago. We'll bring you that updated number a little bit later on. More tickets were punched last night. Make that 6 automatic bids to the Big Dance as of this moment. 2 on a Monday evening in the SoCon tournament. It was Samford holding on in a dicey game at the end that was a real bummer for me, who bet the over of a total at 149.5. It seemed it was going to get there. I hated some market movement yesterday, Donnie. After we got off the show, screamed down to 146.5. I could not figure out why. Here's why. The two teams missed a combined 26 free throws, but I'll put my bad beat aside. Samford back into the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2000. Samford has won 29 games this year, the champions of the SoCon.
And we talked about this game yesterday, and you asked me, like, Donnie, who do you like here, Samford or East Tennessee State? I basically said, well, it's not really a toss-up, but I don't have an edge either way. You see that closing line around 8.5 points? Look at the final score, 76-69, right on it there. So that's the reason why it's like, you know what? I guess this side might win, so it's why I stayed away. But you're right. You want to talk about a bad beat there. 51% as a team and 67% as a team from the free throw line. That would have been different, Ben, if they both shot under like 10 free throws at that point. But the fact that one team shot 29, the other shot 37, you should have walked away easily with that one at this point. Just be average from the free throw line and you cash that one in.
DRS, they got off to a guns blazing pace yesterday, 40-38 at the break. Even live total was 161.5. Believe me, that live total didn't stay there very long. In the Sun Belt, though, James Madison knocks off Arkansas State. I laid the 5.5 with the Dukes, so at least I got one of the two. A 20-point victory for JMU, who has been one of the stories of this college basketball season. Opening night of the year, they go to East Lansing inside the Breslin Center. They knock off then number 4 Michigan State. James Madison, Donnie, has 31 wins this year. JMU is 31-3. Even if Purdue runs through the Big Ten, or Houston runs through the Big 12 tournament, or UConn runs through the Big East, James Madison will enter Selection Sunday, earning the Sun Belt's automatic bid, at worst matching the highest win total in college basketball this year. A dangerous double-digit seed to keep an eye on in the opening weekend of the Big Dance.
Yeah, you just line up into your championship game, Ben, and shoot 63% from the field as a team, which included 58% from the three-point line. Again, you're not going to lose very many games at that point here. Holding Arkansas State, who loves the three-point shot, to 7 of 25 from the field. The one thing that will about JMU, they'll let you shoot the three-point shot, but they actually defend it quite well, and it worked out yesterday. A 20-point win, which was never in doubt. 10 points at the break, 10 points in the second half. You get that 20-point victory here. That's a good basketball team.
Women's college basketball now, UConn dominant in the Big East all year long. A perfect 21-0, 18 in the regular season, 3 in the conference tournament. They win by 36 yesterday. They won all 21 of their games by at least 15, 20 of the 21 by 20-plus points. Players championship time on the PGA Tour next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A premier event on the PGA Tour this week. Golf's unofficial fifth major championship at TPC Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. And live on location for us on this Tuesday on the early line, Keith Stewart joins us here all across the Sports Grid Network. Keith, the background is looking great. We know you are right there at TPC Sawgrass. Are we still deeming this golf's unofficial fifth major championship?
Oh, I'm sure that the PGA Tour is. And good morning, guys. Great to be with you from down here at Ponte Vedra Beach. It's a beautiful day, and the tour is pumping this thing up. It's the Daytona 500. It's the Super Bowl. It's the flagship event. And the golf course, the TPC Sawgrass Stadium course, looks exquisite. Let's get this thing on.
One of the strongest fields in all of the sport of golf. And Keith, we will look at the leaderboard, or at least the odds board. And at the top, you see Scottie Scheffler, a very short price in comparison to every other player in this field at the Players' Championship. You could cut Rory's price in half. You'd still need to take off 50 cents to get to Scottie's number at plus 550. Part of the reason has to be the performance last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Pacing the field by five shots, 15 under par. Scottie Scheffler, the champion at the API. How dominant was the performance out of Scottie Scheffler last week down at Bay Hill?
Oh, just look at the Sunday 66 that he shot. Not a bogey on the card where all the guys around him are ejecting left and right. It was really impressive. I was there on site. You guys know that. I watched the warm-up with the putter all week. He switched to the mallet. I still thought the stroke looked a little bit shaky. Whatever happened there on Saturday when he screamed at himself and he screamed at his caddy, Ted Scott, it stuck, because after that, his putter was on fire. The guy went nuclear, and he won by five, which is exactly what he did last year when his putter was basically flat with the field. So it doesn't bode well, and that's why the odds are so low. At 550, I don't know if we could touch that against 143 other guys unless it's a live bet, but I tell you what, it's deserving.
Keith, let's take a look at the golf course itself. All throughout the 90s, when we started to get the video games with EA Sports here, everybody wanted to play TPC Sawgrass because of the 17th hole. Talk to anybody out there who doesn't understand what the course layout is in Ponte Vedra there. What is it about? Is it lengthy? Is it short? Is it hard? What are some of the tougher holes that we can anticipate? And also that iconic 17th hole.
Well, one thing's for sure. This is not one of the longest golf courses out there on the PGA Tour. And the tour, their headquarters is right here. They could change the golf course any way they want. But Pete Dye's diabolical design tests you the whole way around. It's got to be one of the most visually intimidating golf courses out there for these guys to compete on. And none is more exemplifies that than the 17th hole. I mean, when you think about it, the island green surrounded by water, it was supposedly his wife's idea, Alice, to say, hey, why don't we do this? It's the most polarizing finish in all of golf. We absolutely love it. When guys, they make eagle on 16, they hit the eject button there on 17, 18. We've seen some wild, wild scores with water up the left. There's two things, Donnie, when it comes to the golf course this week, I want all the bettors to really pay attention to. This event was played in May for a long stretch from 2007 to 2018. We got to throw that data, that statistics, that analysis out the window. 2019, we returned to a March start for this event. And 2019 through 2023, look at the winners. Rory, JT, Cam Smith, Scotty, major winners. This is a big-time event when it's played in March, and these guys, they know it's a tough test, and they're coming in ready, and you saw a lot of good names there at API in great form.
Scottie Scheffler winning by five last week at Bay Hill. At the API, he won by five, as Keith alluded to, last year at the Players' Championship as well in 2023. As we focus on the 17th hole, Keith, before we get some early leans on the early line across the odds board and the leaderboard, our show, sponsored by the FanDuel Sportsbook, a FanDuel special this week, a 25% profit boost on if there will be a hole-in-one at the 17th at TPC Sawgrass. The no is the favored side right now at minus 210. But Keith Stewart, tell us, will there be an ace this week at number 17?
I would bet the yes on that for sure, Ben, because it's one of the shortest par threes, and these guys have a wedge in hand from 135 yards. And another reason why I'm going to say yes is that looking ahead at the weather, the biggest challenge around here is always the wind. That island green sits less than a mile from the Atlantic coast. So the wind, the stadium seating, all of the hospitality tents, it tends to swirl in there. But the wind is going to sit in the low teens, maybe get to the mid-teens this week. It's not going to be terrible. I think that these guys, when they put this pin up front, they're going to hit that backboard. They're going to suck it back. And I believe for sure that you're going to see an ace this week in one of the four competitive rounds.
Repeat performances here, Keith, because as we know, this tournament is played on the same golf course every single year. Three out of the top four golfers here currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook odd-wise would be Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Justin Thomas. Those three guys have won in the past couple years. Do you give an extra bump to those guys that know their way around the golf course and have dominated here?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, we have 22 rookies, and I bet two-thirds of those guys don't make the cut. This is definitely one of those places where player experience is a huge asset. You know, just the weather alone sometimes can cause a little bit of havoc, and these guys need to know how to adjust, how to be able to, you know, pick their sight lines. I mean, 2 or 3 days just to get warmed up and get ready for the toughest test in golf, it's just not enough time. And there's too many guys in the field, 144 players, going for $25 million, $4.5 million for first, top 65 in ties. There's just way too many guys that know this golf course really well or are just super elite that those rookies, they really don't stand a chance. I'm definitely favoring the guys that have great experience. And I mean, here's a good one for you. In the last 2 years, only four guys have finished in the top 25. Victor Hovland, Russell Henley, Max Homa, and Adam Hadwin. All guys that have played here a bunch, and all guys that are veteran tour players that know how to get their ball, keep their ball safe around this place and get it in the hole.
So despite what is happening in the golf world, it is still a very, very strong field this week at the Players' Championship in 2024. So, Keith, when you look at it, Scottie Scheffler deserving of that short number to be the front runner and favorite at plus 550, but it also then maybe allows some value behind him on the rest of the odds board. Who has a good week at TPC Sawgrass?
Hey, Scotty did us a great favor last week by winning by five. Going into the API, we had six guys under 20-1. Now we have two. So to your point, Ben, I love some of the numbers in this field. And if I'm going with my early leans here on the early line, we got to be talking about Will Zalatoris. Six of the last six winners finished tied 22nd or better in their prior start. So all these guys that we're talking about, if they weren't in contention at Bay Hill, they probably won't be in contention here. You cannot find your game here, and Willie Z is on point. His last three starts, 13th, 2nd, 4th. Love his ball striking. Probably one of the few guys whose ball striking can keep up with Scotty. I'd like Max Homa, too. He's sitting there at 28-1. Max, like I just said, he's got two top 25 starts here in his last two starts at the Players Course, for sure. He was great chipping and putting around those greens at Bay Hill, and also with the flat stick. You're going to need that here. Wyndham Clark, this guy might be the new Brooks Koepka. He gets up for the big events. You've seen it. He won Pebble. He won the U.S. Open. Last year, his first career win was a signature event at Wells Fargo. He loves a tough test, and his game stands up to it. And the other guy is, I think, He looks back to 2020 and the COVID cancellation. That first round after the tour had to cancel the start of the Players, Hideki Matsuyama, sitting at 33-1, shot 63 and led the event. Watch out for Hideki this week. He's been great lately and won the Genesis.
He did do that. Keith Stewart, we appreciate it. Enjoy the Players' Championship this week at Sawgrass. More of the early line coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NBA? Yeah. the NBA. Around the association we go here in hour number two of the early line. Six-game slate on a Monday night in the NBA that kind of got lost in all the shuffle that is conference championship week in college basketball and, of course, the free agency frenzy yesterday in the NFL. But history continues for Luka Doncic. After six consecutive games of a 30-point triple-double, the first player in NBA history to do that, it wasn't quite 30 last night in Chicago, but it was 27, 14, and 12 for another triple-double as the Mavericks win 127-92 inside the United Center. A 35-point win for the Mavs. They were favored by 3.5 points. An important game for Dallas in play-in tournament and just Western Conference standings position. And Donnie Wright's side nails his best bet. Plus 195 closing number for Luka Doncic to have his seventh consecutive triple-double. Did it need to come with 30 points? It did not. But Luka triple-double and the Mavs win big.
Yeah, bounced around yesterday at the FanDuel Sportsbook anywhere between plus 175 all the way up to a 2-to-1 price. And it was a simple handicap for me entering into this. When guys are doing historic things, the teammates and also the coaches understand that as well and will try to facilitate. The only problem was the team not facilitating was the Chicago Bulls. It was 44-16 after one. So you're saying to yourself, no, he's not even going to play the second half. But he had such a good start. It almost had the feeling for me. So I calmed down and said, wait a second. If he's got 15.7 rebounds and six assists, like midway through the second quarter, there's only one thing they're going to do, get him his triple-double and he can exit that ballgame. And he ended up fantastically going over that 27 points, 14 assists, and 12 rebounds. He's been absolutely incredible. This is one of those games where it's like, maybe it's a tricky spot here in Chicago. Yeah. They're fighting for playoff positioning, but they ended them quickly in that. This is what we like, the frontline players with big-time games, and that's Luka Doncic providing you on a night-to-night basis, feeling like a triple-double every night now, Ben.
Seven straight triple-doubles in the only prop category he went under last night of 32.5. He finished with 27 points, but 14 dimes over that prop category as well, 12 rebounds over 9.5. Seven straight triple-doubles for Luka Doncic. And again, a big victory for the Mavericks. Now 24-15 against the spread this year as the favored side. They have won three in a row. They have covered in all three. They have covered in nine of their last 10 wins. They were the hottest team out west entering the All-Star break. Six straight, won their first after to make that seven in a row. They are also covering when they win basketball games. So the Mavericks have one more win, 37, than the Sacramento Kings, 36, but they also have one more loss, 28-27. Virtually to say, both teams sit a full game back of the Phoenix Suns, who are 11 games above 500 and in that sixth spot in the Western Conference standings. The Suns, at full health last night, go on the road to Cleveland, win by six. Line closed at about 6.5. Depending on when you got that number, it was around 4.5, 5 as we broke down the game yesterday. Either you got a cover or the Cavs took it by the hook. So here's where things stack up in the Western Conference all around the play-in tournament positioning. And these five teams that you will see right here are going to be in either the playoffs or the play-in. Neither the Jazz or the Rockets, more than likely, are going to catch the Warriors with less 20 games left for every team, all 30 around the association. The Suns out of the play-in tournament in that sixth spot by a game. Then the Kings and the Mavericks, and both the Kings and the Mavericks have at this moment a full game and a half over LA. The Lakers a full game in front of Golden State.
And if you're looking at this positioning, too, because you are going to jockey down the stretch, let's just call it roughly 18 games per team left to play. Take a look at the Phoenix Suns, 7.5 games here behind the Oklahoma City Thunder, but more importantly, one game ahead of the Sacramento Kings, who hold that seventh spot currently here. What did we like about last night? We finally got to see it. Was it an ultra-impressive performance? No, but we haven't seen the big three for the Phoenix Suns all that much, but isn't this what we envisioned? Kevin Durant dropping 37 points, Bradley Beal 24 points, Devin Booker 27 points. This is what's supposed to happen on the night-to-night basis. Now, granted, we didn't know if the Phoenix Suns would cover yesterday, but we were both comfortable with saying, you know what, if that big three does play here, we should get offense even if Donovan Mitchell doesn't play in this ballgame. But if we're lining up some of the teams to falter back, I don't think the Suns are going to falter, Ben. Now, granted, we can't predict again another Devin Booker twisted ankle, Kevin Durant's back injury flaring up, or even Bradley Beal having some foot issues. We don't know if that's going to happen. Let's just say they don't get injured and they have their normal rest routines. I don't see them falling back. They're an elite squad when that big three is healthy along with their bench. Then you take a look here at the New Orleans Pelicans. You say, well, the Pelicans might be the team that slips back. They've won four in a row and are 7-3 in their last 10 and also have a 2.5 game lead over the Sacramento Kings. I think the Kings are talented. The Mavericks are talented. The Lakers obviously probably resigned to the fact they're not going to get into that top six. And the same thing with the Golden State Warriors. Anybody slipping out? I think we have our top six now in the West with now the Phoenix Suns being healthy.
The Dubs, by the way, victorious last night on the road in San Antonio. We're down at the break early in the third quarter, even without Steph. The Warriors rally to win by 10, even covered as a 3.5, 4-point road favorite on the road in San Antonio. So Golden State right now, although they are well back of the sixth spot, 3.5 games, they are 5 games in front of Houston. So when you look on the FanDuel Sportsbook at the moment, there are odds to make the Western Conference play-in tournament. The Mavericks minus 240, both the Suns and the Kings minus 210, and the Pelicans, the only other team listed at a plus money price, plus 240. The Lakers and Dubs don't have a number because it seems as though the odds makers believe they are cemented in those 9 and 10 spots, but at least a play-in tournament team. It would be important for the Lakers and the Warriors if they can catch at this moment the Kings and the Mavericks, because when you're in the 7-8 play-in game, you can win into the playoffs as the 7 seed. You can lose, and you get one more chance over the champion of the 9-10 game, and the loser of that eliminated and has to pack their bags a little bit early. But you can see, Donnie, in those numbers, Houston's not making their way up. Utah's not making their way up. Those 6, maybe even 5 teams that we showed you, those are the play-in tournament teams. And I think having the Mavs, the Suns, and the Kings all around a pretty similar minus 200 plus price is the odds makers saying, we're not entirely sure. It's so tightly compacted. One of these teams is going to fall in. One is going to go up. We know this grouping is going to be in the play-in tournament.
So funny, too, as you look back the past couple of years where the play-in tournament was like, hey, man, I don't know if we should do this. And LeBron James was huffing and puffing about it. Looks like he's going to save his bacon this year, as they're probably going to wind up in the 9th seed. And if they were the 9th seed, they wouldn't even be going to the playoffs. But also, look at it from a fanfare as well in the Western Conference. We'll get to the Eastern Conference. You're telling me the Kings, Mavericks, Lakers, and Warriors in a play-in, and we're like, I'll wait till the real playoffs actually start. No, that is fantastic that those 4 teams might wind up in there. And let's get back to this. More playoff teams, more fun in all sports, people. 12 is not enough. 14 is not enough. 24 could be enough in college football. Yes, I had to flip it over.
Come on now.
More teams, more fun, Ben. Come on. Gosh, it's where it needs to go.
That's cold. Cold scene. Cold scene to do that right there. By the way, the Phoenix Suns, as we said, snapped their 10-game under streak. They go over 220.5, as Donnie and I correctly predicted yesterday. Not to pat ourselves on the back too much. The Nuggets, by the way, now the favorite to be the number one seed on the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 105 price. Oklahoma City, who currently sits in that one spot, plus 115, OKC a half game advantage over Denver. The Nuggets is a 15.5 point home favorite last night. We're down by 17 at the break against the Raptors before they rallied in the second half. And check out this stat line for the NBA MVP odds on favorite Nikola Jokic. 35 points, 17 rebounds, 12 assists, 6 steals, and 2 blocks. Despite Luka making history, he's not catching the Joker right now in terms of those MVP odds. Now to the Eastern Conference, where things are much more compact following the Boston Celtics, who won big by 22 last night on the road in Portland, 121-99. They had all of their big guns play, and they covered as a 12-point road favorite. The season, 8.5 game lead for that top spot. But with the Knicks, Magic, Sixers, Pacers, and Heat all separated at this moment by only two games, five teams by two games. It is going to be a race to stay out of the play-in and into the Eastern Conference postseason automatically.
You're right about that. Like, it felt like to start the season, it was the Celtics and the Bucks as a runaway here. It still feels like the Celtics and the Bucks are the runaway. Question marks with the Cavaliers, Knicks, Magic, Sixers, whether it be injuries or just not playing good basketball. And then in the playing round, the Pacers, Heat, Bulls, and Hawks. Inconsistency is the key word here. So maybe somebody can make a run. Also keep in mind, you don't start the playoffs, Ben, with just two basketball teams in the East. One of those other teams are going to probably wind up in the Eastern Conference Finals, or at least a step away from the Eastern Conference Finals. But again, lurking are the Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers with incomplete teams right now. If they slip down lower and lower, you're getting a better price point. Forget about winning the NBA championship. Maybe to make a run and just get to the Eastern Conference Finals could be a possibility. But the West is stacked all the way through. The East, not so much.
The Heat, six games above 500. We showed you the Bulls with the loss last night at home against the Mavericks. They're now three games below 500. The Hawks, six games below 500. But Atlanta's still a 3.5 game advantage over the Nets for that 10th and final spot into the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. The Bulls, though, trail the Heat by 4.5 games to get out of the 9-10 matchup. Again, pretty solidified of the teams that will be in the play-in, or at least in the top 10 in the Eastern Conference. How it all stacks out in terms of seed line, a different story. The Hawks minus 550 to be a play-in team. The Sixers on a slide. The odds makers, Donnie, expect Philadelphia a minus 470 price to be in the Eastern Conference play-in tournament, which might mean the Heat and the Pacers can make their way out. From the play-in tournament to conference championship weekend college basketball. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Conference championship week in college basketball. What a glorious time it is. You will see conference tournament games that matter the most starting at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on this Tuesday and for the next 6 days up until Selection Sunday, through Selection Sunday, I should say. We have college basketball games at the D1 level on the men's side starting no later than noon Eastern time. It is a ceremonious time. It is almost like a holiday. It is March. And starting today, although it's the worst teams in those leagues, the high majors enter the fold during conference championship week as well. The ACC and Big 12 both begin today. The Big East, Big 10, Pac-12, and SEC all start on Wednesday as well. Some of the best teams in those leagues, like in the Big 10, the Big 12, and the SEC, with the teams that finish 1-4, they won't be in action. They earned a double bye all the way to the quarters on Friday. But still teams trying to make a run in their conference tournament, either to solidify their NCAA tournament resume, maybe pick up some more quad one, quad two, quality wins to appeal to the committee, or maybe making a run at winning the whole thing and be a bid stealer and earn an automatic berth to the big dance.
Yeah, and that's what most people are watching this week. Now, granted, sometimes, you know, people are college basketball fans, but don't get to watch these teams all the way through. The conference tournament puts every single team in that conference in the same playing field on the same courts. You try to measure up and almost get that precursor to the tournament. Neutral court site, how do they handle their business? Hot teams going in, people love that. But also keep in mind, we take a look at guys with like the bracket matrix and the bracketology. This is such a big win, a big week here, I should say, for the teams that we don't think are going to get those automatic bids, which means the bid stealers here. So if you are conferences out there and you are on the bubble, talking to you, Indiana State right now, do you know who you're cheering for?
Oh,
North Carolina, Houston, UConn, Purdue, Arizona, Tennessee. You don't want to see the Pittsburgh Panthers or maybe you know somebody coming up that's on that bubble with you taking away that automatic win. That's what's so much fun. And also just eyeing up day to day, some of these teams like the Villanova Wildcats in the Big East, they need a couple wins probably in the Big East tournament here. There's so many things to watch than just the teams that win the tournament, where just winning a game or two puts you in the tournament. I love this week, Ben. I do.
It is a really good point. If you are a team on the bubble, either at the high or mid-major level, and your conference tournament action ends early, Arch Madness, Missouri Valley Conference Tournament, was over the weekend, Indiana State falling just short to Drake. They still deserve an at-large bid, in my estimation. You are hoping the favorites run through the gauntlet. Even if a bid stealer gets close, they come up short, but it's important from the handicapping perspective to know the motivation and know what is at stake for each individual matchup throughout conference championship week. Sure, you can look at the future odds. Can Villanova make a run in the Big East? They might just have to get to the tournament final. Might be the same in the ACC for teams like Syracuse or Pittsburgh to solidify their resume. But individually, you can also focus on a matchup that might mean everything. It's a win and in type game. For instance, Thursday at the Big East tournament, myself and our producer Joe Frizzo will be there inside Madison Square Garden. St. John's and Seton Hall Thursday afternoon. That's virtually a play-in game to the NCAA tournament. The winner should be in to the big dance. The loser will have a nervy couple of days until Selection Sunday. So, Donnie, we showed you the favorites at the high major level, the Power Six in men's college basketball. UNC, now the favorites to win the ACC, to the top overall seed. Houston, even money favorite, plus 100, the top seed in the Big 12. UConn, the number one seed in the Big East, the reigning champs, minus 150. Purdue, top team in the Big Ten, even money, plus 100. Same for Arizona, same for Tennessee. Both the number one overall seeds in their respective conference tournaments. The Cats at minus 150, the Vols plus 175. And don't just think, because those favorites are the one seed, they've won a regular season crown, they don't have anything on the line this week. They could be playing for the position in the bracket, the seed line, trying to get a number one seed, trying to clinch a number one seed. So much motivation during conference championship week.
No, there is. And also, I this is going to be interesting to watch it play out, because the teams that you just brought up there in the big-time conferences, right? I think those teams deservedly being the favorites here, I don't think you can go wrong. Let's just say if you bet every single conference and just took the favorites here, I think you would come out with plus money, because quite frankly, you're not betting minus 650s here. You're getting good prices, and the highest favorite that you will pay would be on Arizona in the Pac-12 and also UConn in the Big East here, both of those teams listed at a minus 150 price. But your point is valid here. The conference week is so big on so many levels. As you pointed out, you might have a play-in game right off the bat. Win this game and you probably think you're in the tournament. Forget about even winning the Big East tournament per se, right? Win a couple games here, improve your seed line, which then brings up the next issue. If you are, and also a lot of prestige comes with this as well, being a number one seed goes on your resume as a head coach, even if it doesn't equate to a Final Four run or even a championship at that point. That number one seed is certainly important, but also keep in mind, just feasibility, Ben, of making it to a Final Four and winning a championship. The higher your seed line, theoretically, the easier your opponents are to get through to said Final Four or a national championship game or even cutting down the nets. So you're right. You're not looking at it saying like, oh, well, Carolina won the regular season. They're just fine. They have a legitimate chance here to run through the ACC and be a number one seed. The motivation is there across the board for everybody. Teams like Purdue, teams like UConn, they want that number one overall seed. It's not like, ah, we'll be on the one line if we just make it maybe a game or two in the tournament. Nonsense. You are going to get the best of the best going against the best on a night-to-night basis where everybody cares about these games. I love this stuff.
I am sure we will dive a little bit deeper into these conference tournament odds at the high major level tomorrow when four of the six get underway. Both the ACC and Big 12 begin their conference tournaments today. However, I just want to say this. The SEC is tightly compact at the top. Those top four seeds, all a $5 price or less. Tennessee, the favorite, plus 175. Less than a buck behind the Auburn Tigers at plus 240. Kentucky, 4-1. Alabama, 5-1. And I do want to give you some long shots that are playing their best basketball right now that probably are not in the NCAA tournament at this moment. And I think unless they win their conference tournament, would not make it into the big dance. But out of the Big Ten, Ohio State, under interim head coach Jake Diebler, has won 5 of 6 games. They're a 30 to 1 price to win the Big Ten. A dismal year last year in Columbus. They made it all the way to the Big Ten tournament title game against Purdue, coming up short as well. And Donnie has mentioned the USC Trojans a few times, and I think it bears repeating. USC is on a streak here to end out the regular season. Winners of four of their last five, a huge upset over Arizona on Saturday night. 20-1, the number on Southern Cal. There is a lot of talent for the Trojans. They were not all healthy throughout the year, but Boogie Ellis is back. Isaiah Collier is back. Bronny James will be a factor. They are a team to pay attention to in the Pac-12, especially with Arizona, the odds-on favorite, minus 150.
I like where you're going, too, because you're taking a look at some big prices here. And also, this isn't the culmination of 20 games, Ben. You just got to win a couple games in a row. And if that top seed gets knocked out, now you're live with some of these numbers. We talked about, you know, making money possibility on the Miami Hurricanes in the ACC if they ever got healthy. Turns out they're probably never going to get healthy at this point. Nigel Pack went off. He's going to play today. Wooga Poplar missed a couple games. God. They were embarrassing in the last couple games down the stretch. Quite frankly, I don't think Miami's even won in the past month at this point. So that's might be one of those that you remove from the equation. But teams in the Big 12, you want to talk about those second liners, really good basketball teams. Houston is a plus 100 to win that tournament. You take a look at Iowa State, a plus 430. But look after that. Baylor, 6-1 price. BYU at 11-1. Yeah. And also keep in mind, Kansas is going to be down for the count in this tournament at 13-1, who maybe would have been a player there. So that's why I look at Baylor and BYU. If you want to pull the upset, how is it done here? Elite three-point shooting and shooting at volume. That's what BYU gives you. If they knock down 50% of the three-point shots, shooting 25 or more of those, good luck beating them. The same thing with the Baylor Bears, one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. So you're trying to look for those second levels with those big prices. And also, Ben, something that we always preach as well. Ben's not looking for USC to win the Pac-12 championship. Ben is saying, I'm going to take a 20-1 price, win a couple games, and the FanDuel Sportsbook goes, okay, Ben, you bet X amount of dollars here. Here's your profit if you take it. And if you take it, that's a winning ticket here. Not like, aha, Ben, you dummy. You took USC, they didn't win. Then you show them the receipts going, no, I absolutely won at this point. So taking the bigger numbers doesn't have to cash in the end with a championship win. You just got to turn it into a profit. That's what you're looking to do.
Try to get to semifinals Saturday, conference tournament title game Sunday, and either hedge or cash out in a big way, especially with those big money numbers. Some other conference tournaments also beginning today or tomorrow. The A-10, man, that's going to be a good one. Dayton the favorite right now. Even if the Flyers were to lose during the conference tournament, I believe they would have enough metrically to be an at-large bid. But keep an eye on Loyola Chicago. They are playing really good basketball right now, and Drew Valentine is a coach to know. CUSA, Louisiana Tech the favorite, plus 110. The MAC, Fairfield the favorite at plus 260. The American, also interesting. South Florida the top seed, FAU, last year's Cinderellas, plus 170. The Mountain West is going to be a gauntlet. San Diego State enters as the favorite at plus 240, but anybody can win it, as we saw each and every night in the Mountain West. Teams that are maybe on the bubble trying to solidify or earn a berth. Nevada, you could look at New Mexico. Some motivation there certainly at stake. And in the Western Athletic Conference, the WAC, Grand Canyon, one of the best teams this year with some of the most wins in college basketball, and odds on minus 150 favorite.
And by the way, just take a look at that A-10 tournament. Always had an affinity to that because back in the day, the Temple Owls under John Chaney there would rumble with Calipari's UMass Minutemen. But if you're looking at the top, like Dayton has always been a good program, plus 170 to win that conference. But now look down the list. VCU is always a perennial contender, 8-1 price here. St. Bonaventure was tremendous for a couple years here, 12-1 price. You slide it down, Davidson with McKillop back in the day, 45-1 to win that conference. And Rhode Island, who was trying to make runs to the Final Four, 250-1 in that conference. Boy, some of the times change here, but also big prices all the way around. And talking about bid stealers, they're out there this week, so beware. We're going to get a lot of alerts there. This is why I love conference championship week. You never know what's going to happen.
In the Southland, by the way, McNeese starts their tournament today as the one seed. They got to buy all the way to the semifinals under Will Wade. The Stangs, they're playing some basketball, minus 430. I know it's minus 430, but I still think I might lay it with McNeese. There is plenty more coming your way around college basketball and here on the early line in just a little bit. I thought we were coming up on the break. My bad. Joe Friso, great producing, to give us the one-minute look. Some other tournaments that will get started tomorrow. The Big West, the MEAC, the SWAC, the MAC, the Mid-American Conference. The Ivy League only has four teams that will start on Saturday. Four teams that make the conference tournament, I should say. And there are five bids on the line with six tickets already punched into the big dance. Five on the line this Wednesday. WCC, top 25 tilt, a showdown between St. Mary's and Gonzaga. The Zags, the favorites, laying 3.5. Charleston in the CAA, the Colonial, laying 7.5 against Stony Brook. How about this for an over-under in the Northeast Conference? 119.5 for a championship between Merrimack and Wagner. We'll have plenty more coming your way in just a minute.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out this second hour, live right here on a Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. There is so much to get to here in our third hour coming your way in just a moment. But we started the show in the opening hour fully dedicated to all that we saw yesterday as the tampering window, the legal tampering window in the National Football League opened at noon Eastern time. And it was a flurry in free agency. What was the best move of day number one? That was the question to the people in Fade the Public. Who had the best first day of NFL free agency? We gave you three options. If you liked an other, we asked you to reply as well. The Green Bay Packers, a peculiar day, but a strong day. A weird day, though, for Packers fans. They signed Josh Jacobs and add Xavier McKinney, Robert Bakhtiari on his way out, and they had to release Aaron Jones as well. Kirk Cousins got a bag in Atlanta, 4 years, $180 million, and the Eagles made some shrewd moves as well, extending Landon Dickerson. They also added Bryce Huff along the defensive front, and namely Saquon Barkley, or other was a potential. Most of the public, Donnie, nearly 53% of the public, saying individually, Kirk Cousins and his bag, that was the best day of day number one.
Now, let me ask a question here before I answer who I actually voted for. If we take a look at the poll, and anything NFL, particularly coming off of free agency, is going to get a lot of votes. But when we took a look at the question is, who had the best first day of free agency? We actually gave two franchises, one player and an other. Like, we need a correlation between these two so you could sort of go head-to-head. Because nobody's going to argue with Kirk Cousins had a great day because he got paid. But shouldn't the question be who had the best day of free agency? More likely a team overall, so you could have that contrast here. So I'm disagreeing with the question early in the day because I don't like to see where it's going here. And the other, can the other been like a food vendor at Lincoln Financial Field had the best day of free agency? I mean, what's the other for at this point? It could be anything at this point here.
What was the vote? Hour three starts in 55 seconds.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.